Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 163, part 1, How's Your Own Vineyard? Today is Friday, September 3rd, 2010. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostess, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's mission is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. If you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, be sure to call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m., to register your household for monthly groceries. You can also shop Pastor Paul's Mall online, groceries at vons.com. Be sure to visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations. You can also join the community. At the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to the blog, Flickr, the podcast, Life Vantage, YouTube, and Twitter. So be sure to go to PastorPaul.org and check out the interactive links at the top of the homepage. You can also leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony at the blog. There you're going to find the show notes to Pastor Paul's podcast, where you're going to find scripture links that are within Pastor Paul's messages. You can also email me, Janine@PastorPaul.org. Be sure to join us every week on Friday for part one and on Sunday for part two of Pastor Paul's weekly podcast. This is the lineup for the month of September. How's Your Own Vineyard? God's Hope for Feeble Saints. Beware of the Evil Tongues of Lying Lips. The Fork in the Road. We'll have a great month of September, the beginning of fall. Beautiful in Minnesota. If you come here to visit, be sure to give us a call at Pastor Paul's. God bless you and have a great month.
Tonight's tape is entitled, then, How's Your Own Vineyard? Tonight, then, let's let her enter into Song of Solomon 1 and 6. And they made me, or you, the keeper of the vineyards. But mine own vineyard I have not kept. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, vineyards, plural. But mine own vineyard I have not kept. Now, I hope this is going to be a personal message to you here and you listening on the radio or to this tape. They made me. And then let this message be personal to all of us that are listening, starting with myself. Let us tonight think on this before we start. I hope this message will be for a practical value to all of our own hearts. I hope it will have some good so that we can say yes, that we have been to the house of God. It probably won't be an ear-tickling message, maybe not even a pleasing one. You listening on the radio, it might even be a saddening one. It may then bring unhappy memories to you, but I found out one thing in my ministry. Holy sorrow is good for the soul. And in this text, the spouse speaks of herself, "They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept." So you're saying, should we, by this example, think only about ourselves? I think this text sort of voices a complaint. No, it's so easy to complain. God, I caught myself doing it 4 or 5 times a day. Falling into complaining. Well, at least I caught myself. Especially about others. I mean, I do everything. I mean, they're so wrong and I'm so right, and they're so unfeeling and I'm so feeling and so caring and they're so uncaring. So dumb, so rude, so silly, so, you know what I'm talking about. But you know, I found out one thing in my whole lifetime here, that it doesn't do much good dragging another man's character through the mud. And I'll tell you why. The dragger gets as dirty or dirtier than the draggee. You got to drag him through the mud. You end up with mud clots all over your feet. And you know what? It serves as a witness against us. And wherever they may go, they leave a muddy, dirty trail. And their walk is marked. Can be seen from heaven's door. And yet, many spend hours and days upon days in this no-profit job. A dirty, filthy, no-pay job. It pays nothing. It has no benefits. And it's hard work. And so then, like the text, let's allow ourselves to be investigated. And let the complaint of the text deal with us personally. Now, if there is something wrong at home, let the father blame himself. If the children are brats, if the children are rude and sloppy and sassy, let mom then look to her own personal conduct. As their very own teacher. A woman called, she says, "My kids are driving me nuts." And I said, "Only because you allow it." Now please don't give your ears to somebody else who's listening to this message. You use them for yourself. Don't cover them up and don't lend them to somebody else. Leave them firmly attached to the side of your heads for your use only. Then let us shovel a path to our own heart so that the way is clear. So then that the word of the Lord can walk right in and find us out. So it can purify our inward man. And let us all make this confession. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard I have not kept. Let's be practical. Let's deal with this tonight. If we've been wrong, let's get it right. If we've neglected our own vineyard, let us humble ourselves and admit it. But let's don't continue on in the same vein. Let us lament. So that our own vineyards are well kept by the very grace of God. And when we do this, then if God calls us to a higher work in looking after someone's else's vineyards and only do that if God asked you to. We will then qualify. 1986. We are in a time of great possibilities. Oh, there's possibilities. I got a call from the Hormel people. They said, oh, we were so lifted coming down there. You don't know. We really needed that. There was such disunity and such fear and such torment in our town. And we were lifted. And then the song came to me, you know, love lifted me. And today I got a letter from a woman and she said, you know, both sides are fighting and God help those that are in positions on both sides of leadership in the international, in the company, that now what's been caused is a rift between families and a tearing down and a split. And she said, oh, she said, I am so happy that somewhere and through a bag of groceries, it gave me hope that there's someone out there that just cares a little bit. Another letter from a lawyer that's working with people. He says, you know, when this thing is over, I would hope that we would be able to continue on in this vein of giving to the poor and needy, knowing full well what it's all about after all these months. Keep your own vineyard. We're in a hard time. God's vineyards have very few workers. And also, I said we have a lot of possibility, but also we have a greater responsibility. God's vineyards right now have very few workers. There aren't a whole lot. It's really evident, isn't it? I mean, a hard time, a time of learning to keep our own vineyards, a time of learning how to mind our own business. So first, let's look at the Christian man who has forgotten his very high calling. The day that you and I were born again, we were born for God, it says. For God. Now, if you're not for me, you're against me, the Bible. And so you were born for God first and foremost. When we started to see finally what Jesus Christ had done for us, we were dead then to the world. And then once we were quickened by the Holy Spirit, we became consecrated. Ye are not your own. You don't own yourself anymore. No. Ye are bought with a price. You have been put into a vineyard. And that's what it says to me. You have left the world. You have left the power of the devil. And you have left your worldly friends. Now, even in our own lives, our own natural lives, we have been forced to be keepers of a type of a vineyard, haven't we? Don't we all go to work? And don't we work hard and we call our wages hard-earned? Yeah. We spend many, many hours at our jobs most of our life. We wake up and we plan and we say to ourselves, what's to do? We go to bed that night and we start all over again. And I believe that's the way it should be. Because God didn't make us to be playboys. Even it tells us in the Bible, in paradise, man was bidden to dress the garden. And I think there is something far more reaching. But also I think there is something for every Christian man to do, especially when they're called of God. So now let's go back to we were born again. The Bible says we now are new creatures in Christ Jesus. We began to live for God and not for ourselves. Oh, it's so hard not to live for yourself. And the question comes, have we carried out that life? We have worked hard, but for what? And by the way, who has been our master? What's been the object of our toil? Now, if I have been true to my profession as a Christian, I have lived and I have loved and I've worked for God. I have worked for Christ Jesus. And I have worked for the kingdom of heaven. But you listening, has that been true of all of us? Is it true now? I think a lot of times we're working for wealth. And I had a man come in, a Christian man, and he says, I have an idea for fundraising. And he got into this great big thing about fundraising. And he said, you know what I would do? If I became a millionaire, I promised God I would give him half of it. And I thought, that's real generous of you to give God half of what he gives you. Brother, then I would really take care of you too. And I thought, I don't want to get into this. See, this is, sounds sort of like a deal. It sounds like making a deal. Let's make a deal. What's behind this curtain or this curtain or this curtain? Let's make a deal. And I thought, no, I don't want to hear no more of this. I'm so tired of hearing it, but I don't want to be rude, but I'm saying in my mind, get out. I have to be honest. Which means that they're working for wealth, which means they work for self. You're working for yourself. Some work for their families, which of course is only a bigger self. I mean, if our total energies are put into working for our families, and you see it over and over and over again. Baby comes, and every ounce of energy is put into looking after baby. I mean, there is totally no time for anything else but sticking one of these pacifiers in Junior's face. It's really the truth. And you won't see people around until baby gets unruly and someone has to take care of baby. What a boring situation. And so we end up, when we have families a lot of times, with a bigger self. Now, what can this kid do to glorify me? I'm going to save so he can go to college and he can be a doctor and now he can be a lawyer or something like that. And if the kid don't make it, you get destroyed because, see, it was all for ourselves. Well, which is good in one way, but I'm saying about seek ye first the kingdom of God. See, to the Christian there must be a far higher, a far deeper, a far purer, a far truer motive than self. And it's so hard to minister that. Because we'll always gyrate and motivate and, compass northward towards self again. But see, there's something greater and something higher, I said, and something deeper and purer and truer. A truer motive, I should say, than self. Or else one day he will look back over his life and say, they have made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard, meaning the service of Christ. Now we're talking Song of Solomon, we're talking the spouse, talking to Jesus. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard, meaning the service of Christ, the one who bought and paid for us with his blood, have I not kept? What a nightmare. What a nightmare to look back over the years and say, what have I done for Jesus Christ and why was I taken off of the road which he put me on? Why did I freak out and flump out and fear out? Why did I do it? Why didn't I go on and do the job? Oh my God, what a nightmare to look back and say, oh my God, I haven't kept mine own vineyard that you've given me. How much of my daily life have I given to him? Has it been spent in complaining? Has it been wasted on self? Oh, there are so many people wrapped up in self and they are so miserable. You can't be happy wrapped up in yourself. Isn't there a song, I'm all tied up, wrapped up in Jesus, something like that? Well, hey, I'm talking about total denial of yourself. And when you have total denial of yourself, you're not always worried about what somebody has to say about you. Because, see, you're dead. Say it to somebody. You're dead. You cannot concern yourself with what someone has to say about you while you're busy keeping your own vineyard, the one that God has given you. So I looked at this scripture and I said, well, this certainly looks to me like God is speaking to me about the vineyard. Talking in relation to the spouse and talking to the Jesus. Here we are, locked in on a vineyard. What am I going to do with it? What are we going to do with it? Have I spent my continuing service in complaining? I wish I just had back the time I wasted on making excuses. He gave me a whole lot of talents, but what have I done with them? Maybe someone out there is saying, well, I've been rich. Well, what did you do for Jesus with it? Were you tipping God? Now, there's tippers in the world that have got enough guts and gall to leave a nickel tip yet. And that's the way some people spiritually tip God. I thought to myself, how much influence have I used to promote the kingdom of God? What influence does your life have? You listening now, listen on the radio tape, whoever, whatever. How much influence have you been and have you used to promote the kingdom? Now, sometimes you're an influence for God. And it takes on strange forms. But remember, we're all going to stand before God at the great white throne of judgment. Every Christian. Not for sin, but what did you do? And what's your excuse for not doing it? I mean, have we been busy with every other thing but glorifying God? I mean, God is going to ask, have you been faithful in the vineyard? And it says, we shall all have to make an account. Every one of us. Well, I think many times we can judge a man's character by his faithfulness and by his love for Jesus Christ above all comment. By their faithfulness in a ministry, ask yourself, and don't look around. Don't turn the radio off. Am I an earnest laborer together with God? Or do I labor with no purpose? I remember on my job when I would be working on presses or in my business. What I would do is have a goal. And I'd get so interested in meeting that goal and busting that goal and making it better. That I had a purpose in that labor. Don't you labor with a purpose? Don't you labor so it's done? Let's all retrospect here. What's your vineyard look like? Yes, I know many have worked hard, but at what? Have they served the Lord in all things? I think much of the time, I'm afraid, we have been untrue to our professions. Our highest work is overlooked. We overlook the higher work. You're doing it for the kingdom of God. That's your purpose. or it has no purpose and it has no meaning. We have not kept our own vineyard. Look back. How much time have we spent in communion with God? How much time have we given to Him in our thoughts and meditations and contemplation and adoration and in our works? How much time? How much time have we given, how much of our thought and how much of our meditation and contemplation, how much of ourself have we given over to God? Or have we given our complaining to God? Maybe we should ask, have you been to the mercy seat lately? Maybe we don't think we need mercy. Lord knows I need it every day. Have you loved His Word? Or has football and the dumb dome taken first place? Or have we had ungodly midnight discussions? Well, how have we spent our time? Have we spent our time praying for this or that, or worrying about worldly positions, or making unfruitful phone calls, ragging on somebody? Oh, God. What are we reading? Are we reading True Romance? Are we caught up in the soaps? God, they're so boring. One time I looked at one of them soaps, and this woman was brushing her hair, and it was in 7 different segments. You understand what I mean? It had the life of so-and-so in this little Peyton Place situation. And had this and this and this and this and right down the line, 7 different segments. And some 2 years later, now remember, she was brushing her hair, and I looked at it 2 years later, and she was just laying the brush down. I mean, it didn't go anyplace. Are we into the corn, the old corn of the Scripture? The vineyard of holy service for God. We a lot of times leave it for ruin. Men are dying, and they're dying all over. And oh my, you know what? We're even getting bored right now watching in Ethiopia. We get bored. Oh, turn that off. I'm tired. I'm tired of watching these kids with flies all over and festering sores. And I don't want to see no more of that. The man came down and asked me, boldly hinted for me to run for office. I said, well, that's not my calling. I wouldn't last anyway. Because I'd just get up and preach the gospel. But how about the work your God has called you to do? Are you seeing to it that people are saved out there? I mean, we're looking at this city, and this city is a hellhole. It is the hub of witchcraft. And Satan right now is a brewing the poison, but hey, we have the antidote. We have the mightier one. We have Christ. Are we the power of righteousness? How much good have we done? Are we helping people out of hell or helping them into hell? Are we looking for lost sheep? And what have our mouths been up to lately, good or evil? Don't back off. Don't turn me off. And say, I don't have any ability. You got abilities. You got your mouth. And on that last day, will it be frozen or will it be flapping? They're all going to have to answer on that last day. I'm going to have to preach the truth. The truth is, seek ye first the kingdom of God and take care of the vineyards. And I have to preach, you got to seek God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and you got to improve. And you got to obey the Holy Spirit. We have right now within our power heavenly words that can deliver people right out of the jaws of hell. Sometime within the next few weeks, I'll be going down to Austin. I'll be down there ministering in some church somewhere. They asked me to come down and we'll be down there ministering somewhere. And I hope that every Hormel worker is there. You pray for me. See, we have the heavenly words. Hallelujah. But are we using them? Are we using the heavenly words? They're there. They're within us. And you out there, you may say to yourself, well, I've been a truck driver, or I've been a mechanic, or I've been the president, or I've been a waitress, or a cook, or a mom, or a dad, or a school teacher, a musician, a painter, a lawyer, a factory worker, whatever. A janitor, whatever. And I've taken care of all of these callings very well. But mine own vineyard, which was my master's, I should have sought and kept it. First of all, I have not kept. Well, then how can I correct this? Oh, God. There's decisions, preachers, that you're going to have to make. Okay, now we've dealt with fault. And I think we all agree we need to change daily. So now let's amend it. And the remedy is so beautiful. Well, you say, will it be pleasant? No, not always. But here is the antidote, and here it is in the Song of Solomon. In this next verse here, 1 and 7, listen. Mine own vineyard have I not kept. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest. Tell me, whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest. Where are you feeding at? Where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. Oh, my. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? Don't turn aside. For no reason. Go to the Lord, and in Him only, you will find your delivery from your very neglects. And ask the Lord, where do you feed the flocks? And go with Him. That's the only way it's got to be. I left my ministry this summer for some 3.5 months, the most miserable 3.5 months I ever had in my life, trying to make a decision. Well, I made it. Are you hearing this? Ask the Lord, where do you feed your flock, and go with Him. And there you will find warm hearts, obedient people, always doing for Christ Jesus. And remember that warning to the lukewarm people. Also remember His remedy. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. So I spent about 3.5 months not sleeping at all until I had bags under. I looked like I was going someplace on a trip. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Run to Him. You know what will happen? You will soon keep your vineyard. Well, I think they're all quick to look to Jesus Christ. I should say, to obey Him, that want fellowship with Him. But anyway, notice in the song now a very happy change, and let's go on with this message. Listen, just a little bit later on, the spouse says like this, take us the foxes. the little foxes that spoil the vines. Oh, wow. She is hunting out her sins and her very own foolishness. And then later on, we find this. We find her with the Lord in the vineyard crying out. That says, call upon the name of the Lord in the time of trouble, and he will answer. Now listen. And she cries out, awake, O the north wind, and come thou south, and blow upon her garden, that the spices therefore may flow out, thereof may flow out. O Holy Spirit, blow on me. So now we see her keeping her garden. Oh, yes. She made a decision. Now she's asking for heavenly influences to make the spices and the flowers yield their perfume. She wanted to get a witness, don't you see?
So if you till a tree.